one other thing about Rashi's commentary, and that is that it not only is transported into a Jewish world throughout Ashkenaz, and then beyond Ashkenaz, as we said, into the Muslim world and so on. It even eventually ends up in the hands of Christians. And I can point to many examples, but two in particular which are really quite interesting. A group of commentators, Christian commentators, monks of the Bible who lived in Paris called the Victorines, actually consulted and translated Rashi's commentary into Latin. And perhaps the most famous example from 12th, 13th century is Nicholas de Lyra. Again, another very important figure within the larger cultural world of Christianity in Northern Europe, also using Rashi's commentary. So just as Maimonides' Guide to the Perplexed had been translated into Latin and consulted by Thomas Aquinas, here we have a group of Christian exegetes who, in search of the simple meaning of the text, consult Rashi. Rashi is usually not even polemical. Occasionally, he will offer a response to a Christian interpretation of a verse. That's always possible, particularly in his commentary on the Book of Psalms, for example, where the books of Psalms have been interpreted in Christological ways. But generally speaking, this is a text that it is so good, it's even accessible to a Christian world. So here, then, we have the first remarkable accomplishment of Rashi. That is a pedagogic commentary on the entire Bible. But Rashi's work was not finished. He also composed a commentary, even more vast in size, of almost the entire Talmud. Some of his students finished the rest, and they were attributed to Rashi, so sometimes it's not clear whether the text was written by Rashi or not. But we can say that the overwhelming majority of the text was completed by him directly. Rashi's commentary of the Talmud functions in many ways like his commentary on the Bible. That is, it is a Peshat commentary. It is a simple commentary. It explains words, it explains concepts. And for those who are being introduced for the first time to the Talmud, first, you recall the Mishnah, and then the Gemara, which follows it, the commentary upon the Mishnah, or the elucidation, or the elaboration of the Mishnah. There is a need for a commentary. Much of the Gemara, much of the Talmud, is not even written in Hebrew. It is written in Aramaic, the language, of course, spoken at the time, and it is a Semitic language very close to Hebrew, but it is not exactly Hebrew. And therefore, what we have is Rashi explaining key words, key concepts. Without Rashi, the Talmud is not that clear. In other words, there is absolutely a need for this text. And again, this becomes the central tool for opening up the Talmud to introductory students. Now, if that was not enough, we have to add one more interesting dimension here. But before we do that, let us talk about the legacy of Rashi and his students, because they are the ones who are going to create something beyond the commentary on the Talmud itself. Rashi had a school of students who studied under him. Many of them were his own children, his son-in-laws, their children, and grandchildren. In other words, we have all of the names of these individuals. All of them were significant in their own right. We can identify them, we can trace what their writings are, and they left an impact. So what we're speaking about here is not only Rashi as the individual, but Rashi's school. And perhaps although we can say that Maimonides had students that went on for many, many generations, as we said, the idea of an institutionalization of Maimonidean studies in his own day, we don't know very much about. But in the case of Rashi, Rashi is a pedagogue, a supreme pedagogue, as we saw in the case of the commentary, and you can imagine how he taught this material to his students. But his students become proficient in their own right, and as you know, the best kind of student is a student who nicely, at least politely, criticizes his own teacher, raises questions, and therefore enters into a dialogue with his teacher. And I assume that was really the style of the Academy of Rashi and Troyes. What we have is a fascinating phenomenon, a group of his students over several generations. Again, all of this material was edited and put into a form that was eventually reached us in the form of manuscripts and eventually, of course, in the printed version of the Talmud. They are called as a school or as a community of scholars, the Tosafot.